And good morning to the Round 19 edition of the Saturday Morning VFL Football Show here on KC Radio 97.7 FM. And good morning to Jim Hines. You've joined myself, Kane Pollard, in the chair once again for... We're getting there, Jim. Round 19, only one round to go in the regular season after this one, and we couldn't ask for a bigger weekend for ourselves, having three games of football to cover, two games today and a game tomorrow, so we'll be... on the road to following the VFL around.
It's been a big week in football. It's been a big weekend in football, and it's only going to get bigger. And then the final's coming up in a couple of weeks' time.
Well, I fell asleep at three-quarter time last night.
Did you? I actually missed quite a interesting final quarter.
Who won the game?
Western Bullies, yes, unfortunately.
Well, that's not for if you're a Western Bulldogs supporter. It's a big win.
I wanted Geelong to win. I picked them.
The start of a there's more to football than just your tipping, Mr. Hines.
No, definitely not. No, it's all me.
Yeah, no, well, most people who tune into the program understand your philosophy on life. It is all about you.
I've got this formula. Find a formula, then go against it.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you tipped eight at all this year. Have you yet?
Absolutely zero.
I've tipped three times, so I've only.
But I'm about 20. Wins in front of you.
Oh, I haven't tipped for about the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, so. Well, yes, you're a philosophy.
We're here to talk about the VFL, so a good win by the Western Bulldogs last night will propel them towards final glory, you would imagine. And the Cats, once again, the question marks and the media frenzy will be focusing around Skilled Stadium, you'd imagine. Hutchie would already be down there camping out, waiting for the big story to come out of Geelong. Big question marks over Tom Hartley's future, that's for sure, being dropped for this weekend. But we're here to talk about the VFL on last weekend. With an interesting round of football, we had to travel to North Ballarat and talk about going to a venue that has four different weather conditions in one day. It absolutely hailed at halftime during the broadcast when there was no football on, and as soon as the players walked off the ground, it started to rain again. But you must admit the facilities at Eureka Stadium has definitely improved. The ground, for the amount of rain that it had over that 24-hour period, you have to say it was probably... one of the best, better-equipped surfaces in the competition, because it didn't affect the game at all. It was one of the more higher-standard games of football, as much as a low-scoring affair. It was a tight contest, and Port Melbourne only really played good football for one quarter, and that was the final quarter, and got themselves within striking distance. You just had to ask yourself once again, the conditions and undisciplined performance by Port Melbourne really did cost them a win. They constantly tried to move the ball down the exposed side of the ground, and... they were beaten until they turned that game plan around in the final quarter and used the grandstand and social club side, which was protected a little bit from the wind, and used the ball a lot better and set up some goal opportunities in that final quarter. And on the Saturday broadcast, we went down to Sandringham, and that was a topsy-weird sort of event as well, wasn't it? Because Frankston were in front...
Very strange game.
Frankston were in front by 72 points at three-quarter time to only win the game by... 21 points in the end. Look, it was a strong performance by Frankston. They were really a committed outfit and hit the bodies hard. But to lead 13-9 to 1-9 at three-quarter time, you were thinking the Dollies were going to notch up a big win.
Well, a team that scores 8-9 in the final quarter normally wins the game, but not when they're 72 points behind at three-quarter time.
And it wasn't so much that Frankston put the cue in the rack at all either. Sandringham just had to play better football and use the ball.
8-9. If it was, you know, a lot more accurate kicking, 12-5 for argument's sake, the result could have been a lot more in favour of Sandringham.
And then it was 27 scoring shots to 23 in the end, and they lost by 21 points. Let's go.
They were one goal nine at three quarter time.
Yeah,
you're not going to win many games when you 1-9 at three quarter time, 72 points behind.
So it was on. There was two games on Saturday, and back to sweet FA days there with five games of VFL football on the Sunday. But the Bull Ants took on the Cats at NAB Oval, and that was another game that was really affected by the conditions, Jim. Four behinds were kicked to the Preston Market Street end for the whole game.
Yeah.
While 18-35 was kicked to the southern end of the ground, or the city end of NAB Oval. So, look, it was really a situation there where the conditions really did affect it. The word out of the game was that Podsy Adley went down with a knee injury. I couldn't find any word on that today. I've got the teams in front of me, so I'll see when we go through the preview if there's any sign of Podsy Adley playing in the big game down there tonight, where it'd be versus Geelong, the Saturday night feature. of the end of the season format down there. And so, yeah, 18 goals, 35 at one end to only four behinds, which left the Bull Ants in front. 9 goals, 23-77. Defeated the Cats, 9-16-70. So the Bull Ants, that win has put a gap between them and the chasing bunch. They've moved in the fifth position, but still the game behind Box Hill and Port Melbourne if they want to play in the top four. And Sandringham, well, they had everything to play for, I thought, and the three-quarter time, it wasn't a Sandringham-like performance. They were really out-muscled and beaten to the contest, which was a really disappointing sign for any Sandringham supporter there. There weren't many, though. There weren't many people at Sandringham.
Very, very poor crowd.
Probably the worst crowd I've seen at the VFL
in the last
5 years.
There was about 10 people in the members area, and five of them were with the commentary team.
Well, and then when the Oz Kickers left at half time, it felt like half the crowd actually left the venue. So if the Oz Kickers...
There was about 20 people in the members when the game got into the final quarter. So they actually turned up to cheer their team in the final quarter.
I think they all moved inside because they couldn't stand the wind anymore, Jim.
Exactly.
More likely.
Yeah.
So
that means there was 20 people less outside.
It just makes you wonder that is it worth playing some of these games on Saturday afternoon football because they are challenging local suburban football in that area. I was asking a few of the guys, as Tangles and the guys said in the Mornington Peninsula footy, the Casey Gadinia Footy League show, that it is the final week this weekend. So the second last round of the football, there would have been some big games in the local levels out there. So they definitely didn't come and support the Sandringham side, neither did any St Kilda supporters. So it was very disappointing for Sandringham. And they lost 9 goals, 18-72 to Frankston, 14-9-93.
Yep.
There's no real explanation for it. Frankston were just simply too good. And a couple of players that I thought might put themselves within AFL contention in the next 12 to 18 months was young Hobbs at centre-half back. I thought he showed some promise there for the Dolphins. Hubert would nearly be a chance to...
He's been good every time we've seen him.
Yeah, definitely. And he doesn't shirk the contest either. He's quite prepared to put his body in and take it. And young Gill, who stood Sortner, I thought did pretty well and tied him up for most of the game. Sortner didn't kick many at all. And
I think Marigliani got an invite to the AFL camp.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know what that involves or whether that leads to a future.
I did try to print off that information. A couple of players have been drafted. What it is just they basically go and get their physicality tested. They do what basically like the draft camp does. And they get put through.
Not the photogenic part of it?
No, they just go through and...
So just because you're in the social pages doesn't mean...
I think it might help. It might make some recruiters actually go, oh, that's Marcus Marigliani, okay.
Okay, yeah.
But if you go and watch him, you'll sure see him, because he picks up a lot of the football.
Yeah, he's a good player. I like him as a footballer. He's one of the better midfielders in the competition.
I think you'd have to... change his style a little bit to play, but he's got such a penetrating kick that he's a 100-metre player, Marigliani. He gets the ball and he can run and take on the challenges. And he really...
But should he change his game? If he plays such a good game that he's natural at?
Yeah, I think he might... Like, when he was getting those I don't want to say easy kicks, but those kicks around the back in defence, I don't know if he's going to have that same time at the next level. But
some of these players we see, they look pretty ordinary at VFL level. Then they get promoted to the AFL, and they fit in automatically.
Well, I mean, Marcus Marigliani's got the body size of playing a half forward flank as well, and with his penetrating kick, I mean, if he kicks it 60 metres deep inside forward 50 every time he gets it'd be pretty valuable. And there's some squads out there that are a little bit light on when it comes down to their seventh and eighth midfielder. I mean, you know, I think he's, 22 or 23 years of age, and he's played consistent football now for the last two or three seasons, and you'd have to slot him in the VFL Team of the Year. So he's definitely getting the runs on the board, and he was instrumental in Frankston's performances in the finals last year. So he was probably unlucky to not go last year. But having Shannon Grant there as well, he'll probably have a couple of contacts and feelers to really push his boat along. And good luck to him. It'll be another credit to the VFL and to himself. He's really applied himself and got himself fit and has played some really good football this season. One team that's been playing good football in season 2009 is Dangers Mob, the Box Hill Hawks. After trailing by 22 points at quarter time, a few of us were hoping that the Bendigo Bombers could notch up a win before the season finishes, but no. True to form, once again strong at home, the Box Hill Hawks overrun The Bendigo Bombers, 18-15, 123. Defeated the Bendigo Bombers, 12-13, 85. Arch rivals, fierce rivals, Williamstown versus Collingwood. As I was reading, just doing some research, Williamstown only has lost one game to Collingwood. That was in 1896. Other than that, it's 5-0.
1896,
before the VFL was actually formed.
It was a bit before my time.
Yeah, I thought you were actually there. I thought you were selling records on the gate.
No, not unless I was in a Shirley MacLaine previous lifetime.
I think you were there with the rattle tins out, mate. Yep. But Williamstown, 21 goals, 935. Defeated the Pies, 6-12, 66. Collingwood's loss leaves them still with a chance of being knocked out of the finals because their percentage is worse than the two teams below them. So Coburg's got it all on the line this week. They have to win if they're going to be any chance, and then they need the other two teams to lose. So mathematically, they're a chance. Sandringham need to perform well against some tough opposition this weekend, and if they can get a victory against Port Melbourne, you think that'd be enough to give them the momentum to actually make the finals. But Collingwood still in there, and you've got to be in there to make the finals. So they're sitting in 8th position, 8-8, which has been a fair season for the Pies. They started off very well, have tapered off a little bit. And I guess one advantage for Collingwood would be the fact that they're going to have a lot of their players available, because most people think Collingwood will last a long time in September. So if that's the case, they're going to have a full list of players to choose from. And, we'll see.
Got an interesting team today and got a lot of ins. A lot of Collingwood players, Collingwood listed players.
Well, they'll probably play on Sunday, so a couple of those players will be out of the...
That's Saturday the 22nd, so...
Collingwood AFL side. That's Battle of the Big Cats, Werribee versus the Coburg Tigers at Chirnside Park. Most pundits thought Coburg would be too strong, but once again, when you think it's all done and dusted for Werribee, they get a win. 11-11-77, Lord Nelson. Defeated the Coburg Tigers 10-9-69, so an 8-point victory there at home.
Good thing is the Tigers won.
Yes, exactly right. If you're a Tigers fan, you couldn't lose that game. North Ballarat versus Port Melbourne, and last year's grand finalist, replay number 2, and North Ballarat turned it around on their round 1 loss against Port Melbourne, and Port Melbourne only have themselves to blame. Big contingent of Port Melbourne fans, I thought, made the trip up to North Ballarat in very, very awful conditions. We nearly didn't go. That's
we were Stan and Mulvin ringing the North Ballarat Football Club to say we weren't turning up. And we did.
We were there.
We went there. We got the good oil from North Ballarat, and they said, yep, turn up. The conditions will be favourable to playing football. And they were true to their word.
And we must thank, we are talking about this game, Jared Fitzgerald and also Gary Ayres, who both gave up their time and actually came up to the broadcast area, which was one of the first for KC Radio. We usually leave the pre-game interviews to the Boundary Boys, but no, Jared and Gary both came up and to have a chat, which was good. And North Ballarat won 10-12-72 against the Borough 8-9-57. Good, strong performance there, once again, by North Ballarat. And looking at the ladder leading into round 19, the penultimate round of the VFL,
yep.
Williamstown and North Ballarat are tied on 12 wins and 4 losses. Port Melbourne and Box Hill Hawks, well, they're tied on 44 points, but Box Hill still have a bye to have
this weekend.
So they could actually slip from their position in 4th to 5th. If the Bullants win and win comfortably, and Port Melbourne have a chance to sew up the third position if they are to beat Sandringham this afternoon. So the Boxall Hawks are in 4th position. I'm sure Stanger think they're worthy of a top 4 position. The Bullants in 5th with 10 wins, and then this is where the logjam starts to come in where teams can shuffle their way. Casey Scorpions can finish anywhere between 6th and 8th at the moment. Same as the Cats and Geelong. So it's Casey and Geelong on 9 wins and 7 losses, separated by a pretty healthy percentage, though. The Scorpions, 127.66, and Geelong on 101.82. Collingwood on 8-8, as we mentioned, there are 32 points with a percentage of 100.57. Now, below them, the only two teams left in it with a chance of playing in the finals, Sandringham, 7 wins and 9 losses. They've completed their 2 draws, 2 byes for the year, so they've got 2 games to finish off, which is Port Melbourne and also North Ballarat. So their backs are really to the wall.
Yep, last year's grand finalists. So they're in for a tough last 2 weeks.
Now, the Coburg Tigers, they travel to Northern Bullants tomorrow afternoon for a big game.
Yep, a must-win for them, because they don't play round 20.
No, they don't. They don't play round 20.
Round 20.
and Coburg are on 7 wins and 10 losses, a percentage of 101.69. Werribee, well, if they win against Geelong and both Collingwood, Sandringham and Coburg lose, they can still go into the well, I guess they can't because their percentage is so low that if it finishes on 8 wins, they'll still miss out. So because of their poor percentage, Werribee are gone. Their percentage is 84.59. And then it's Frankston with 3 wins now, which you look back on, and their second half of the season's been pretty competitive. So Shannon Grant definitely has some positives there. And the Bendigo Bombers, 0-16. They will not win a game for the season. Which
they haven't won since round 15 last year, I think it was.
Yeah, they used to be called the Bendigo Diggers. Well, those Bendigo Diggers better start digging a grave because the Bendigo Bombers will be ceased, you would imagine. Casey Scorpions had the bye last weekend. So that is left us to round 19. And apparently through the week, Jim, we got our invitation to the Liston Medal.
We did. Thank you very much to the AFL Football.
AFL That's Victoria.
What they're called, AFL Victoria Football. Thank you very much. I can't go, but I'm sure...
Why can't you go?
I've got commitments that particular night.
Okay.
Every Monday night I've got commitments, so I've been committed every Monday night.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go this year.
But I'm sure the Casey Radio will be well represented by...
I don't know. We'll have to see if we can get them an invite because they haven't been invited. So if we say no, they might say no. There's no one.
Okay. So if we don't go, no one goes.
That could be the case. We don't know. We haven't spoken to anyone yet. So don't be going with that on air, especially Jim Hines. Now, with the Liston Medal, obviously it's the best and fairest of the VFL competition, and people look for a bit of a guide and get a bit of a thought on who they might be, who their smoke is or their chance at. Winning the Liston Medal. If you want to contribute to this part of the segment, please feel free to call the station on 599-66977 and give us your thoughts. But I thought there's a bit of an indication here. They've listed the ABC TV Man of the Match. Now, I don't know, that doesn't guarantee players will get 3 votes for the game, but the expert judges who cover the VFL have given the following players up to round 18 the best on ground. And there's one particular name that pops up a couple of times in this list. Round 1. Sam Dwyer of Port Melbourne was named the ABC TV Man of the Match, and it's actually changed now to the Firefighter Man of the Match now, I think, if I can get it right. Yeah, the Firefighters Award now it's called. Round 2, Nick Sortner, Sandringham. Round 3, Patrick Rose of Williamstown. Round 4, Michael Newton of the Casey Scorpions. Round 5, Mr. Incredible Mitch Robertson, who's for the Northern Bulldogs. He's out for the rest of the season with stress fractures. I bet he's been carrying that injury for about 5 or 6 weeks. He just didn't tell anyone. Now it's blown up into quite a severe injury. Round 6, the winner of the Firefighters Award was Stephen Brewer of Port Melbourne. Round 7, the winner was Xavier Ellis of Box Hill. Congratulations to Chris Kane in round 9. He picked up the ABC Firefighter Player of the Round in round 8. So round 10, congratulations to the Constable, Scott Howard. He picked up a winner there. And also, Brad Miller of the Casey Scorpions picked up one in the split round. Sam Dwyer of Port Melbourne picked up the player best of the ground, best on ground between the game between Port Melbourne and the Coburg Tigers there in round 10. We were at that game. He played pretty well. Ben Davies of Williamstown, he picked up the Firefighters Award in round 11 against the Casey Scorpions. Sam Dwyer of Port Melbourne. Again. He picked up the Firefighters Award in the match against Sandringham. Congratulations to Clint Bartram of the Scorpions. He picked up the Firefighters Award in round 13 against Frankston. Casey Scorpions again. There'll be a few Casey Scorpions players now because they're on ABC consistently. Kyle Matthews, the captain of the Scorpions, picked it up against Collingwood. James Wall, round 15 against Coburg. Cruz Garlett of North Ballarat, he picked it up round 16. Miles Sewell of North Ballarat, who I think is a big chance of the Liston Medal, he picked up best on ground in round 17. And Stephen Brown, last weekend, picked it up for the Bulldogs against Geelong. Sam Dwyer, 3 times best on ground there, Jim Hines, in the 18 rounds of football. And there's been a couple of games where he kicked those 5 goals against the Bulldogs. And he has been another player selected as part of the AFL's draft screening camp. And if you can have a bet on the Liston Medal, which I don't think you can, Sam Dwyer would have to be pretty close to favourite, wouldn't he?
Maybe George Parras should open a book.
A bit of a
VFL tipping.
Well, you mentioned the great man. We haven't mentioned him enough in season 2009, George Parras. But I do have the VFL tipping information.
How did I go last week? I got 4.
I don't know, but your name's no longer in the winner's circle, Jim. Okay. So you've dropped off. Last year I finished second, so I was I was still getting my name mentioned in George's little write-up every week, and there's about 125 people that do the VFL tipping comp. It is George does it for no accolades. He just does it for the love of the game, and it's a pretty tight ship, the old VFL tipping comp. He even goes on holidays, and it still runs smoothly. But when we catch up with him, we say we're always going to give this a bit of a run, and we haven't done so much in round 19, up to round 19, probably because I haven't been doing so well. I don't really like to talk about other people's accolades, and Jim Hines had his name in here a couple of times, but he's fallen off, so we can mention it now.
I haven't fallen off. You're still in the top.
You're off
the top 12.
You're off the wagon. You can't win.
I'm in the top 1%.
You can't win.
Or was it 10%?
You're a Richmond supporter, so you accept mediocrity. I accept that, but you've got to be in the winner's
circle. Better than you. That's good enough for me.
Williamstown diehard Don Seagull Quayle is 4 points in front with 79 winners, which is a pretty good effort. And goes all the way there. So, big effort by George once again. 79 winners. I don't know whether that compares to the VFL record, but it's a pretty handy competition. George actually tipped 6 winners last week.
Yep, that's why I fell away. I only tipped 4.
Round 9.
Zero up to 2 games.
Round
0 for 2.
Round 19 of the VFL, and there's some interesting clashes once again. As I mentioned at the start of the broadcast, we have 3 games to broadcast today. This weekend, I should say. Collingwood versus Frankston from Visy Park. That'll be the first bound Saturday afternoon broadcast. Me and Phil Pearce are in the chair today. That's going to be an interesting experience for me. And then we'll be travelling down the freeway to Chirnside Park for the big game between Werribee and Geelong.
Coming home's going to be interesting. The Westgate Bridge is closed tonight. So we're going to find an alternative route. So we could end up in Tullamarine or somewhere.
This is going to be great. I can see this. I can see us not getting home at all, and we'll just go out towards the goal. It's at Casey Field, so we have to come home. The Sunday game will be Casey Scorpions versus Williamstown. I guess that's one game that really does shape as a season breaker there for the Scorpions. Having the bye last weekend, they're now, I think, 2 games out of the top 4, so they probably have written off that, but it's still a fantastic season for the Scorpions, and need to build some momentum there. Heaps of injuries at the Melbourne Football Club has really put the pressure on the Casey Scorpions, though, going into the finals. So it is just gone past 25, or it's now 25 minutes to 10 o'clock here on the Saturday Morning VFL Football Show. I don't think we have any guests today.
No guests.
Okay.
Feel free to ring up if you want to have a chat with us on air. Talk about everything that's relevant to VFL football?
With three games on this weekend, we'll definitely have the VFL covered, though, so make sure you do keep your dial tuned to 97.7 FM, or if you're on the web at 3ser.org.au, because we'll be on again from 1 o'clock. And we'll
got some good news about our broadband. We're opening up we're expanding the broadband very, very soon in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, so finals time, when the football season's finished.
Probably by finals time, we hope, there'll be no more dropouts with a little bit of luck.
Okay.
So, yes.
When was this? Has this been officially announced?
It was discussed yesterday.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Did you get stern with people to say the servers?
Well, it had nothing to do with the VFL.
Oh, didn't it?
No, it was other programs were complaining.
Oh, okay.
They weren't getting, their listeners weren't getting a feed, and they were getting dropouts and stuff. So
I thought the only thing that generated listeners at the radio station was the sport programs.
So did I. But
people get up at 8 o'clock and they listen to the netball show, and then it's a Casey Gadinia footy show, and then it's a VFL footy show, then a Dandong Junior Footy League show. I mean, 3 hours of just community sport here. We've got the local football, the VFL, and the junior comps all covered here on KC Radio. Yep. So you can't get more football and netball on any radio station. Even SEN struggled to match us on a Saturday morning.
Yep. And then Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon throughout the season. Most Saturday, Sundays, we are on air for 4 hours between 1 and 5 o'clock.
That's right, but I'll be glad to pull down the curtains on this season, Jim. It's been a big one, that is for sure. So the games for this weekend in the penultimate round of the VFL, the ABC game live from 1 o'clock is Port Melbourne versus Sandringham. Sandringham would really have to improve a lot on their performance from last weekend. Bonadio has been listed in the bottom line there of players in the Port Melbourne lineup. we'll focus a lot more on the teams, I think, in this weekend's program. We'll take a break shortly, but we'll definitely come back and go through all the games and maybe even chuck a couple of names into a VFL Team of the Year. And if you want, like Jim said, if you want to have some your thoughts on this round of football, please feel free to give us a call. Collingwood versus Frankston, that's the KC Radio first bounce Saturday afternoon game. A couple of players mentioned there in the lineup will not play, so you'll see Peverell and Chris Pendlebury and Paul Colbert all get a game there for the Pies. They'd have to be a little bit concerned playing against Frankston, who were ultra impressive in the first three quarters of football last weekend. They were absolutely sensational. Just trying to find the name of the other kid I forgot about. Trent Schinner's move into the ruck was a masterstroke there. He really did compete well against the two Sandringham ruckmen. And I thought Bett defeated one-on-one against Ben McAvoy. I thought he really did tail him up last weekend. Yeah, but Hobson Hibbard's been listed there to line up in the centre, which would be a different position there for him. Rigliani at centre half forward, so definitely a different looking lineup there for the Frankston Dolphins. Last weekend in the reserves, they had Dean Limbach, Aaron Murray, and Ricky Morris all playing in the reserves. And when I got there, I thought, how is this team going to kick enough goals? Well, we didn't have to worry about that in the end. They were very impressive. And a couple of new names there, you know, Bagley, Sinkiewicz, and Rogash as well. He's come onto the scene. Ben Crowe was a player that I was really impressed with. He was the one that I wanted to mention, Jim. For someone who's about 6'3" and runs like the wind, hits the packs hard, ran out of steam towards the end of the game, but I thought his first three quarters were absolutely fantastic. When he picked up the ball at one stage on the outer wing for the Dolphins and ran it along the outer side at quick pace, and for someone who's a big boy, he definitely got up and moving, and he's definitely showed some promise going forward there for the Frankston Football Club, or maybe himself going further in his career as a footballer. Werribee Tigers versus Geelong, well, it's the Tigers versus the Pussycats tonight, and having a look at that Geelong lineup, no Podsy Adley. Casey Scorpions versus Williamstown, that is the Sunday secondary bounce afternoon broadcast here on 97.7 FM. A couple of players there we'll have to go through and have a chat about, Jim. Williamstown are in pretty good form.
Have a look at the Casey Scorpions team. There's five listed Melbourne players.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever seen that in an alignment where you've only got five listed players.
And Williamstown definitely have another strong lineup there travelling down to Casey Fields. Northern Bullants versus the Coburg Tigers, that's at NAB Oval tomorrow afternoon. And a game which I got a bit of a stern answer when I asked Jared Fitzgerald last weekend about the game, Bendigo Bombers versus North Ballarat. I said, you'd nearly have to put that down as a win. And he turned around and gave me quite a stern look and said, we don't have any game as a win. We have to go out there and play. But
exactly.
You'd think on their performances in the recent weeks that the North Ballarat could rest four or five of their players going into this game and still cause or get a victory against the Bendigo Bombers, who have been good in patches in the games we've seen. They just don't have the consistency to last for the full four quarters. So